Well, it's always a pleasure being able to come back and to be able to be up here and speak in front of you guys. Elder Leonard has always been asking me throughout the year, you know, if I can come and share, on a Sunday morning. And due to, you know, busy campus life, it's been a little difficult. But in the summer, it's been a lot more relaxing. So I'm definitely excited. And thank you, you know, for letting me come. So my summer has been quite enjoyable. The Miami Heat won the NBA championship again. Super thrilled. I know not many of you guys like them, but oh well. But it's been a great summer of just relaxation, being able to think about the upcoming school year, to reconnect with some of the college students here. And it's been just a really good time, so I've enjoyed it. But I guess before we begin, let me just begin with a prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me again here to speak your word, to share your word this morning with the congregation. Father, I pray that you really just speak your truth through me and you use me to your fullest. And Lord, if there's anything that I say that's not according to your will, Lord, I pray that you just erase it out of our minds. But Lord, I just pray that, you know, that you be with us today and that we give you all of our attention, and those that are a little bit weary, Lord, that you can keep them attentive as well. So Lord, we thank you again. We pray this in your name. Amen. When we decide to make a purchase, make commitments, we always think about the cost of things. Like, is it worth it? Is it worth buying something, or is it worth committing to something? And I know that in the early to mid-90s, a popular device was coming, you know, into like our generation, and not many people had it, but it was becoming popular slowly. And it's this device right here. Now, yeah, you see how massive this thing is. This was actually my mom's phone back in the day. And not many people had it. And you wonder why, because you think about the cell phone. And like, is it worth having it, you know, back then? Because one, it was really expensive. And two, you don't get coverage everywhere. If anything, you don't get much anywhere. So the cost of like buying this cell phone back then was not very high. People thought it wasn't worth it. But then as you move on into like the later 90s, Nokia came out with this phone. I'm sure many of you adults have had this. I've had this when I was in high school. And it became big. I mean, I like the phone because I could play Snake on it, and it was like the best thing in the world to do in class. But yeah, like slowly, like, you know, cell phone carriers became bigger and bigger and bigger and had more and more coverage, and then the cell phone rates also dropped. So more and more people decided to invest into it, to buy it, to purchase it. But then in June of 2007, the cell phone took another leap. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? What came out? The iPhone. Apple came out with an idea that would change the face of this world of how we communicate with one another, how we socialize with one another, and how we even work, right? The iPhone, which many of us know as a smartphone, had the ability to check emails, to text easily, to play music, to have GPS, etc. Now, people were thinking about the iPhone now, the smartphone, and they're like, wow, a phone can do all of that? It's pretty much like a mini computer in your pocket that could do multiple things. And slowly but surely, everyone started moving into the smartphone. And for those of my friends that, you know, took a late jump, they never looked back. They realized that this is the most amazing thing in the world. And I think my mom is actually about to move into it, and that's kind of scary for me. And I had just taught her how to use the iPad, and she is blown away. Like, I told her, like, what Bluetooth was, and she had no idea what Bluetooth, like, she was talking about Bluetooth. I'm like, no, no, Mom. But yeah. So more and more people decided the smartphone is worth it because you can do all of these things, whether you're a student that can use it for music, that can use it for searching the web. If you're in the workplace, you have your emails on the go. It had multiple functions. So that brings me into this passage this morning. Okay, I think you guys got the wrong slide. Yeah, there we go. All right, if you guys can read with me. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So when you look at this passage, we have like three people, three followers that are committed to following Jesus. And each person has some sort of like duty, obligation, or ties to something where it prevents them to fully follow Jesus first. And usually when we think of like, you know, ministry, when we think of our church, when we think of reaching out, we always think about, you know, gathering crowds and getting people to come to things so that they can hear the gospel and hear the word. But Jesus takes like a different strategy here. He doesn't just want crowds of people to come and hear his word. He wants people to faithfully follow him and to really think about the cost of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I thought about this passage throughout the year at my year at UGA. And it was my first year, you know, doing an ACF chapter with InterVarsity. And it was definitely a challenge. It was difficult, but yet it was enjoyable as well. And one of the things that we do, like, in the very beginning of the school year is we do something called NSO. It's called New Student Outreach. And all the different InterVarsity chapters will go and do this to try and recruit students and try and, build up the community. And something that we did, like, we had all these multiple, like, different events that would, you know, feed students, whether it was an ice cream social, whether it was a barbecue, a Korean barbecue, which we fed, like, 80 students, or even, like, a night out at some froyo place. And all of these events were wonderful and great, and it brought in a lot of students, but honestly, it didn't reach out to them. It didn't do anything in terms of telling them what it means to follow Jesus. It was just like, hey, you know, come out and get some free food, but that was it. And over this past week, I was able to meet with all of my fellow coworkers on a staff retreat, and we did some wonderful planning. It was so refreshing in my heart that it made me really get pumped for this entire year. Something that really just struck me was the idea of what a missional community is. Because throughout the entire year, I was doing small group Bible studies. And Bible studies are great, don't get me wrong. But the idea of this missional community was that small group Bible study, but more. It was a small group with a purpose to reach out to your non-Christian friends, to do outreach around the campus, to do wonderful fellowship with one another. So it wasn't just reading the Bible, which is great, but it was so much more. And I think about this church as well, you know. We don't have a pastor. We haven't had one for a while. And it gets a little nerve-wracking, and I understand that. But we're not here just to attract crowds. We're here to build one another up, and we're to think about, you know, why are we even here worshiping Jesus? Like, why did you decide to come and sit down this morning? because you decided that you made a commitment, and yet you have counted the cost of what it means to follow Christ. So something that we did over the staff retreat, which is really cool, we thought about a plan, like a timeline, a map that we did of an incoming freshman and how we could get that freshman up into this end goal, which we called a world changer. And this is someone that would make, that would step up in the church, would make a difference, and would proclaim the gospel. So how do we get that student from here to here? And we thought about that. And we listed the steps of what it could look like on each campus. And it was all very different, but yet all with one purposeful goal. So something with, like, you know, that we did over the retreat, I realized that, you know, it's not just about gathering crowds, but it's thinking about the students and how we can get them from that point as an incoming freshman to just going all out for Jesus in the end. So, yeah. So we have three different people. And how are they following Jesus, and what does Jesus challenge them with? You would think, you know, he's, you know, welcoming them, like saying, hey, come, follow me. You know, this is going to be a great ride. You're going to be a wonderful, joyful ministry. But no, it's not like that. For the first person, follower number one, we see that in the end, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is telling him, hey, look, follow me. But you would think the follower is thinking, well, where are you going? Because I know for the Asian community, for the Chinese community especially, we like to know our plan in the future. We like to know step by step of what we're going to be doing. But Jesus here is just saying, follow me, you know? I will follow you wherever you go is what the follower is saying. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have air, of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So this isn't going to be a pleasant ride, as Jesus responded. Where are they going to go? You have no idea. The second was, what was planned in this journey? Do you even know, like, what Jesus is going to do? Like, what kind of journey he's bringing you on? Like, you have no idea if it's going to be a pleasant ride or a rough ride. And I know that throughout my ministry experience, it's been everything. It's been wonderful, pleasant, joyful, and there have been heartaches and hardships as well. But here we have a model. Jesus left everything behind. Remember, he came to us as just a little boy. He left his home. He is the king of the universe. He should have any place that he can call home. But yet when he came into here, earth, he had nothing. He had no home, nowhere to lay his head. So all in all, when I look at this follower has no earthly security. He has nothing that he's willing to hold on to. There's no money, no home. And I think that's a huge challenge for us this morning. And I think, like, you know, throughout the last couple months, I've been, you know, hearing a lot of sermons just about, like, our wealth and about our privileges here living in Johns Creek, Alpharetta. So there's no earthly security. Are you willing to leave your home behind? Are you willing to leave the money that you guys have earned throughout the years behind? And it's not that, I'm not saying that you can't have all of these things, but rather when that time comes, if Jesus calls you to leave these things, are you willing to leave these things? Here we have follower number two. To another he said, follow me, but he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. When I read this, I'm just like, wow, Jesus, that's kind of harsh. Like, why can't I go bury my father first? Like, you know, can we take a little time out and, you know, let me go do my duty? And Jesus says, no, leave the dead to bury their own dead. When I read that, I'm just like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. And in a sense, I'm thinking, Jesus, that's kind of mean. But no, it's not. Jesus wants you to proclaim the kingdom of God because there is an urgency in that if you have decided to make that commitment to follow him, you have already counted that cost of following him. The kingdom of God comes before anything else. So anything and anyone. So is here we're not saying, you know, don't care for the people that you've loved, but rather when that time comes, who are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? What decision? Is it going to be Jesus or is it going to be something here on earth? And it also says in another piece of scripture, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And once again, it's not that you're trying to dishonor your parents or to leave your children, but rather it's who comes first, Jesus or your family? And that's a really difficult question to tackle because I know that many of you guys have families and have children and a spouse and et cetera, and I don't have any of those things yet. But it is a difficult challenge. But Jesus, in this scripture, in this passage, is challenging you to think about the cost of what it means to follow him. So all in all, there are no earthly ties. For many of you guys have wonderful careers. Is your job in the way of following Jesus wholeheartedly? Is your education for many of you students? Because I know that once you go off to college or even in high school, and I've done this with the youth group, and I understand what it's like, the pressure and the pain that you have to go through to, you know, get into school, to impress parents, to impress students around you as well. Like, is that getting in the way of you following Jesus? Are you willing to set aside time to go to these Bible studies that you guys have on campus, to these missional communities, to these fellowship groups that you guys have? Or are you guys focusing solely on your own needs? And for those of you in the workplace, same thing. Are you willing to lay aside time of your work to commit to sharing the gospel to a coworker or to invite them to church this morning? There's a lot of these things that you guys can do, that we can do. And then maybe for a lot of the younger ones, you guys have boyfriends and girlfriends. Are you guys willing to let that go to follow and to pursue Jesus? Because I can tell you right now, like, as a youth or a college student, you really don't know better. You go through the same mistake over and over again sometimes. But is that hindering you from really following Jesus? Are you willing to give it up, that one person that you do so-called love, to love the King, to love the Lord, to love Jesus as number one, as a priority? Here in follow number three, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Pretty much here, you're not looking back. You're only looking forward. When you made that commitment, you don't look back. You don't look back at all the things that you indulged in, which we really consider sin, but rather to just look straight ahead, to look onto the path that Jesus has, you know, put before you, to give it your all, to give him your all, to follow him. When I read this, I think of the passage in Luke 5 when Peter, James, and John decided to just drop everything. Because they were all fishermen, and they were struggling at first, but when Jesus came around, he basically piled their boats so high with fish that it began to sink. And that's a lot of fish, and that's a lot of money. And when we read that passage, we think about that, but what we forget is after that big, enormous catch, they left that behind. That's like a winning lottery ticket for them. They were willing to leave that behind and look forward. So are you guys willing to make that sacrifice? For those of you that have never thought about, you know, committing your life to Jesus, are you willing to make that commitment? Have you thought about the cost of what it means to follow Jesus? And if anything, here's another question. Have you thought about the other side of it? The things that you don't get. And I'll talk about that in a second. So here you have no earthly distractions. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's amazing. And I know for me, I do look back. And I wish that, you know, I can love Jesus more to the point where I don't look back at some of these earthly things that I desire. Like this iPhone, huge distraction. And I'm sure there are many of us in this congregation that have touched our iPhones or have texted or whatnot, you know, throughout this course of this worship service. But when, yeah, we're all sinners and we all fall short, and I think that's where we have to repent. But at the same time, we also have to relive what Jesus is saying here in this passage. Are you willing to count the costs? Are you willing to just look forward? So what is the cost? Simply enough, and it was like the first slide that popped up, so surprise, everything. The cost of following Jesus is everything. And that sounds a little intimidating and, like, scary. But the fact is, what are the benefits of following Jesus? You get eternal life with glorifying God. You get to walk side by side with Jesus. There's not going to be any pain or suffering in heaven. I mean, to me, that's enough. To me, that's satisfaction. Like, glory to God for that. And if you don't, if you're not willing to give up your career, if you're not willing to give up your homes, if you're not willing to give up your money, if you're not willing to give up your boyfriend, girlfriend, your duties and your obligations and your family life for Jesus, and this is for Jesus, when he calls you, are you willing to follow? Are you willing to say, yeah, I'm going to quit today because Jesus, you just told me to follow you. So I want to leave you with that question today. So yeah, back with my university group, my ACF group, this is what I want with my students. At first, I really wanted to be able to have a huge group of students where I can tell my supervisor, be like, hey, I got this many students, and they'll be excited and like thrilled. But honestly, that's just for my own pride. And I think that's where ministry will hurt. But rather now that, you know, God has spoken to me and has rebuked me, has reminded me of his goodness, of his grace, that, you know, I'm okay with a small group of students. If anything, if those small groups of students are fully committed and that they are worshiping Jesus, and that's really their main priority, then glory to God for that. I know that for the InterVarsity region here in the Georgia region, all the different chapters here are doing so well. And I know not every single InterVarsity staff comes up here and speaks, but I can say right now that things that are going on at Lake Georgia State, oh my gosh, it's wonderful. If you could hear like what Crystal has to share about her students and what they're doing, it's wonderful. We also support Beatrice Lee that's also in Emory. Emory has like three different chapters going. I don't know if you guys know that or not. They have a black chapter, they have an Asian chapter, and they have like this basic chapter. So they have three different chapters reaching out to students at Emory. I mean, imagine that. Tech, yeah. Moving on. I'm just kidding. Tech is a wonderful place too. Hi, Monique. I met many Tech students, and a lot of them are thrilled and excited. They got a new staff working with them this year, and I was able to actually room with them over the staff retreat this past week. So there are many good things going on with InterVarsity, with what campus life looks like for college students. I am super thrilled and super pumped. And just to hear, like, you know, our new supervisor talk about our vision and what we're going to be doing this year, like, if I could, I mean, I don't want to spend all this time here sharing with you, but if you want to, like, just talk to me, I will share with you everything that what we are planning to do as a team, because it is reaching out to these students, making them think about what the cost is to follow Jesus. And it's not one of those fellowships where we try to, like, just gather students and just have lukewarm Christians, as Francis Chan would call it. That they really do live out their lives for Christ every single day, like day in, day out, hour by hour. So that is what I want from my chapter, and I know that this is something that this church wants as well for their congregation. Like, yeah, you know, we do need that, we would like that pastor that can, you know, spiritually feed us so that we can constantly think about Jesus and think about his people and the neighborhoods that are around here and how we can, you know, pour out to this church. But honestly, until that time comes, you know, there are other ways to, instead of just relying on a pastor, but rather you guys can, you know, work as a team, work with accountability, work with your fellowship groups to build all of that up. And I do truly believe in this church. I mean, there are times where I feel like it's rough, but you know, God has a plan with this church, and he put it here for a reason. And I think it's going to be something beautiful in the years to come. So let me close with some prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity again to speak. And Lord, it's always a privilege and joyful moment for me to be able to share your word. Father God, I pray that we constantly count the cost of what it means to follow you, Jesus. And that we don't ever take our spiritual lives, our commitments, for granted. And we do that very often, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that you forgive us, that we can continually just come and repent to you. So, Lord, yes, Lord, we ask that you can just continue to watch over this church, to watch over all the various different ministries that, you know, we have listed on the bulletin. Lord, that you can really just take care of us, Lord, as we come and rely on you. So, Lord, we thank you again, and we ask that you just continue to bless our day. I pray this in your name. Amen.